Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.03 here on the Sports Hub. Arkin in for Beto. We got Big Ted in for Zoe. Mike Sarge Riley over there. We got T-Bone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Sports Hub.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.03 here on the Sports Hub. Arkin in for Beto. We got Big Ted in for Zoe. Mike Sarge Riley over there. We got T-Bone and B-Rob behind the glass taking your phones at 617-779-0985. We've been talking about, well, a lot of different things here in the first hour. Bruins schedule is out. The NBA and that whole story in the last 48 hours. We have more on that as well. Patrick Beverley acting like a real jackass in that meeting, yeah. Which we will get to in a little bit. But right now, wanted to talk about the Patriots and, in particular, Bill Belichick, who had a had some conversations, it sounds like, with his team about some of these issues that have been really casting a shadow over the entire sports world, if not all of society right now. And Bill was asked about that today. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I'll keep the things that happened within the team, privately within the team. That was the, that's kind of the forum that we had. So I'll maintain the integrity of that, but I've certainly learned a lot, continue to learn a lot, and, we have an incredible group of players. I'm so proud of this team and the players we have on it. They're the way that they're involved in each other's lives as teammates, the way that they raise their families and are involved in the community on a number of different levels. So, we've always prided ourselves in doing things right and not only being a good football team, but being a pillar in the community. That continues to be our goal and our expectation, and I'm so proud of what our players do on all those levels.
What is he saying there, really? Is there anything profound or anything that he said there that's specific to what is really going on that's that provocative or interesting?
No, but I think he kind of prefaced that by saying we're going to keep the conversations in-house. You know, I mean, if he wanted to go on and talk about every little thing and who said what and everything else.
Aren't you curious, like, what was it? Did Bill have a open forum, what open dialogue, where he addressed this specific issue that is going on with his team? Was it were there breakout meetings? Was it just him and the captains that talked about this and what they should say to the team about this? I'd like to know, what is that tangibly look like, Bill talking to his players about this? We're not going to get the answer because he obviously is going to keep it in house. But I'm just, players talk. We had good discussions. It's a very kind of ambiguous way in which you address this, and I think that's kind of Bill's MO when it comes to issues like this. Is, yeah, we talked, we're listening, we're pillars of the communication. We have good guys, we're good family men, yada yada yada, and we move on. I guess I'm just questioning exactly what goes on behind closed doors specifically to this issue that I think is really beneficial for the players. I question that because of how he's talking right there. I don't know. Most football coaches don't address stuff like this, Christian.
Right.
They don't have they don't care about it. They don't want to talk about it. Now, it's a different athlete. It's a different age than when I played. So maybe
You guys didn't have big meetings like that,
never
right?
Never about stuff like this. Never. But it was a completely different time then as well. So, look, I'm outdated. I might not know what's going on in today's
September 11th, did you guys meet and talk or anything? Or
you know what? Well, you had to address it, but it was
– right.
But it wasn't like we had all this, you know, these, we all held hands
like
and this kumbaya, you know,
right.
About nationalism. And, you know, it was just something like, okay, well, are we going to play this Sunday? Are we not going to play? How's it going to affect, you know, our schedule moving forward? But there wasn't any real deep discussions about, you know, the safety of our country and you know, us as Americans. None of that. None of that. You know, what was a big kind of event in the early 2000s? That I was shocked when I came into the locker room. Shocked that guys weren't talking about it. I remember I was getting to the training room. I'm going to get my
Jay-Z put out Blueprint 2. No, it wasn't that?
It wasn't that.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
That was a close second. It was, we didn't have a president. I forget, was it 2000, 2002? We didn't have a president.
2000.
Yeah, 2000.
Yeah, we didn't have a president.
Florida.
The day after election. Who was the president? Who the hell knows? Nobody was talking about it.
Then they had that guy in Florida with the magnifying glass looking at the,
right,
looking
right. At the balance. And I remember coming to work going, this is the craziest thing. We don't have a president.
I don't think we had one until like the 3 days before Christmas that year.
Right.
That's how crazy it was.
But my freshman year of
the
college.
Recount.
That was kind of a big story back then, right?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought it was a big enough story that guys actually in the locker room would be talking about it. No one gave two flips that there wasn't a president the day after of election. So it's typically not, these aren't big discussions. Now, again, it's a different time, a different era, different athlete. It's more.
Different topic.
Different topic.
Yeah.
True. So maybe there is more discussions. But I just kind of sometimes want to just pump the brakes on that there's NFL coaches or enlightened people who want to, you know, have all their players talking about these issues and we're all working through it and we're all trying to find solutions. That is such an overblown narrative. It's ridiculous.
The Patriots today, and I don't know. I mean, you guys didn't do this back then, but it's maybe difficult to speak to. But today it seems as though there are a lot of very vocal players on the team, in particular the McCourties, who are guys that have been there. Well, Devin's been there a while and has a lot of influence in that locker room and is probably on the defensive side anyway, the most respected guy there.
Him and Slater. They're not outspoken, though. They just talk about. They're not.
Yeah.
Do they say?
I mean, they have a podcast. They talk on their podcast every
week.
But
is there anything that comes out of there that's whoa? Like wow, that's. Can you believe they said that
during COVID? A couple times they really questioned the NFL and whether
they
questioned
the NFL
back and things like that. You're right. I mean, they're not.
But it's.
It's not like they're Jim Rome over here with hot takes or anything. But yeah.
Right, and they're not saying anything that's like really like wow. Can you believe they said that? They're not trying to rally other players to stand up and boycott. They're just. Saying how frustrated, and I get, look, I respect that, but they're not saying anything that's really like divisive or controversial or provocative. And I'm not saying that, they need to. I'm just saying it's not really anything that is so out of bounds that it is going to, I think, stir the pot, if you will, or get guys thinking. It's a very kind of, just very simple kind of, things that I think people can all relate to, but it's not going to, I think, ultimately have a huge impact on the team.
There's another little thing with the NFL that no one's really talking about, and I think that this, we talk about the NBA and how they're not even totally unified, but I do think in terms of the matters and things that are going on right now, the issues going on right now, for the most part, just about every NBA player, not all of them, but most of them, I think, sort of fall into the same camp. In the NFL, there's a lot more... How do I put this? Political diversity in those locker rooms, you know what I mean? Like it's not all people who maybe agree on the issues. And I think that social economics, political leanings,
right.
Things of that nature, I think that there's more diversity as far as that's concerned.
And there's a lot more
in the NFL.
Too.
And there's more players. And there's more, the offense is over here and the defense is over here. Mm-hmm. And we draw sides. And this is who we talk to. And this is mm-hmm. who we spend time with. And I think that so far in the NBA and in some other, in the NHL too, maybe, but I'm not totally sure about that. But in the NBA, I think everyone tends to be pulling in the same direction. in the NFL, I wonder if that's going to be the case, because the owners don't support their players protesting the way the NBA does. That's for damn sure. I think we all agree with that. And that can trickle down. That can trickle down into the locker room with some white players or whoever else that maybe don't think that all these protests are worth doing and things of that nature. And I sort of wonder, is that going to be a problem in these locker rooms? If players decide, you know, I don't want to play this week, or I think we should all do this, or I think we should all do that. That's a problem that I don't think the NBA is gonna come across. And the NFL, I mean, that could be, we got 2 weeks to go here before this whole thing starts. They could be dealing with that very soon.
I don't think that's gonna be an issue.
No.
And you would think there would be more ripe for potential issues because of all the reasons you just stated. But it's a completely different game than the NBA. And what's the biggest difference between the NBA and the NFL? When it comes to issues, you always have to look at just the economic structure. The NFL, you don't have guaranteed contract. Mm. It's the shorter career span. It's on average of the major sports leagues, you get paid, you have the shortest career, and you get paid the lowest average salary of all the major sports. It's a coach's league. The coaches and the front office have all the power, not the players. The players in the NBA, the players in Major League Baseball, they have the power. In the NFL, the coaches have the power. And so it's a completely different deal. Players in the NFL are more timid, are more afraid to stand up, say anything, you know, voice their opinions because of the backlash they could get, or potentially, you know, being cut because of what they say. You see time and time again, guys getting cut for something they say in the media. So guys are going to be more hesitant to say anything, Christian, because, you know, of a potential, you know, repercussions that come from that. It's just guys are afraid to say anything in the NFL because they don't have the leverage. The coaches, the owners have the leverage in that league.
Yeah, I think you're right there. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Let's go back out to the phones, talk to Jerome, who is in Roxbury. Hello, Jerome.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up? Sorry.
Good, good. Long time listener. This is the first time I'm actually calling in, but I felt like I had to after your last caller. I believe his name was Albert. I am, you know, African American myself, and what issues he's speaking on is completely different than what, you know, these players are protesting and standing up about. Everyone realizes there's crime in every neighborhood. It's just how it's reported. So how it's skewed to look one way, there's, you know, black on black crime, there's white on white crime. Like, it's all perspective. What we're talking about is the people who are supposed to protect and serve everyone, you know, lashing out and you know, being violent with those that, you know, aren't violent or in possession of anything, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about justice and equality. So what he was speaking on, I have no idea or clue with what he was talking about, but I think Doc Rivers hit it right on the head, and I'm really proud of what these players are doing and standing up. And I'm not sure which, you know, when you guys said it, but I believe you're completely right as far as, you know, I think the NBA should have probably cancel to make a louder message and to really, you know, force people to sit down and think about what's going on. I think it's up to the NFL players now, and like you said, it's a owner's league, and the players don't really have much say. They really need to find a way where they can try to take back some of that leverage and put onus on their owners to get behind the message and get behind, you know, the movement and everything that they're doing, because, you know, I have friends of all different colors and backgrounds, and you know, we joke about things, but at the end of the day, like, I don't think they personally would like to see the things that are happening to people that look like me happen to me, and it really doesn't touch people until it affects someone they really know. So I think we just need to keep having the conversation. I think, you know, people who call in, it's fine to have their opinions, but honestly, they have no idea what they're talking about.
All right, so, Jerome, just, well put. Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's well put. I didn't agree with Albert's call either, but I'm not going to, you know, scream and yell at somebody who has a different opinion from me, especially, you know, the African-American pride. Just, it's not, I don't feel like that's constructive. I didn't agree with what he had to say. I tend to lean more towards what Jerome was saying there, but, you know, that's sort of what this is all about. We have all this access to each other, and no one talks to each other.
I agree.
You know?
Like, I agree.
That's what 2020 is.
And one point that Jerome made that I'm gonna be on. This is the last time I'm on until next, like, one day next week. But I'm gonna hammer this before we get off. It is the onus, and when it comes to this issue and sports and what to do to help create change and postponing and canceling, it comes down to the owners of the sports leagues partnering with the players. The players can maybe want to do this, but if the owners don't agree and don't partner up, then it'll never happen. The owners of these major sports leagues, particularly basketball and the NFL, have a ton. It's, to me, the onus is on them. They have all the power. They're the ones that can actually help create change and reform, but they have to partner up with the players to get it done. The players can't do it alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. And that speaks to a lot of different things, but certainly I think in the NFL, it's much more clear that needs to happen. 617-779-0985 is your phone number. When we come back, more on the Patriots, not so much on Belichick and social justice, but on the quarterback competition, which according to one of the quarterbacks is still very much a competition. We'll get into that next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
/11:22 here on the Sports Hub. Friday, 28th of August. Arcand in for Beetle. We got Big Ted lurking around here somewhere. I'll be back in just a second. We'll talk to Bob Soucy, who I guess was already on this morning. We got a double dip of Bob today, which is nice. Hear from him.
He's been doing every show.
He's been doing every show. Okay, well, there you go.
Every day.
Hasn't been doing the night show.
Well, you know they don't count.
We do count, T-Bone. We're on 5 hours a night sometimes. Not often anyway, but, you know.
It's an innings eater.
We matter. Innings eater. That is a great way to put it. The night show. Adam Jones and Arcan, the innings eaters at night. Like
the long man.
The Frank Castillos, rest in peace.
I feel for you guys in those five-hour shows, though. Those aren't easy.
Well, that's all we had for about 5 months there because there was no sports.
I did 2 years of a five-hour show in Houston. That is not easy to do, man. Especially with two guys. Not easy.
So one of them's Jones. Yeah.
But the energy, you guys, you know, I'm always listening to the Sports Hub, and I'll be in my car at 10:30, you know, 10 o'clock, mm-hmm. and you guys are still, the energy's still up. You're still bringing it.
You're our people, man. People are in their car at that time. We got the Uber drivers.
Yeah.
We got your bartenders. Well, not anymore. We got your nurses and doctors. Really, that's it. Uber drivers, yeah. Doctors, nurses, and the occasional bartender who's still working. There aren't many.
Just know you're not alone.
There are
people listening.
That is our audience. Anyway, Jarrett Stidham, his bid for the starting quarterback job with the Patriots. Well, not great right now. He was not on the practice field, or he was on the practice field, but had a couple of bad days. And then there was that whole hip injury situation last week, which, first of all, I didn't get to really talk to you. I know you talked with Zoe about this earlier this week. But that whole Jarrett Stidham injury, trip to the hospital, back the next day thing, what the hell was that?
No, that's a good question. I don't know why. I do. It's like, so you sent him to a hospital? You know, late at night. I think it was like he went to the hospital like at midnight to get probably an MRI on the hip.
That was last Thursday, I believe, and then he was back at practice on Friday, right? Did I get that right? I think that's it. Yeah,
that is correct. So, you know, the injury thing is I think he's being unfairly criticized for, like, he wasn't prepared, or he took a month off, or he was down at these weddings in Texas and he wasn't prepared. That is not the case. The kid was working hard. He was, when he was on. By the way, he was his right to go. You know, go take some time off before mm-hmm. training camp, like everybody else. He was working. I know he was working while he was away. And whatever this issue is with his hip or whatever it is, to me, it wasn't because he wasn't working hard. So that narrative that he wasn't working hard is a total crock.
What about the theory that he hurt his hip doing the Cupid shuffle at those weddings? Because, I mean, I've seen that a few different places now.
That is a false narrative as well, buddy.
Fake news.
He did not get hurt. All right. But here's the thing about this injury. Absolute, positively, without question, the worst timing ever for the kid.
Yeah.
The worst timing ever.
And he already wasn't in a great place anyway with them signing Cam Newton and all, you know? I mean, that wasn't a great news for him either. This makes it much worse.
When you are hurt, especially a young player that is not established or accomplished, when you are hurt, you feel it's very difficult for you to have any clout.
Right.
Any real kind of presence, because nobody's going to be paying attention to you. You're hurt. And so he finds himself in a position I'm sure he feels terrible about, because it was going to be a hard thing for him to, quote-unquote, grab it, take the team, you know, make it his, when you're not having organized activities, you're not having OTAs, you're not there in the offseason. It's tough to be the man when you're displaced like you were this offseason. And then when you sign Cam Newton, who's the alpha dog of alpha dogs in that locker room, you're going to be overshadowed. So the odds were stacked against him, and then the timing of this injury was bad. It's just bad, because this was just time to shine, and he's not going to be able to do that because of this injury.
Yeah, his workload did tick back up yesterday. He threw more passes than in any practice since the third day of training camp, and he's trying to get back into the competition with Cam Newton and Brian Hoyer. He had some things to say, actually. We have him right now. Here's Stidham.
How I view things is every day is a competition. You know, whether I'm first string, second string, third string, fourth string, fifth string, I don't view it as that. I just view it as a great opportunity to get better with my teammates every single day and to compete really hard.
Wake up, Ted. Wake up.
Well, hey, bye. Oh, we got to shoot, doing a show. You know what? God bless him. I mean, that's what Bill wants, though. He's just following orders. And that's, you know, that's kind of what you want from the quarterback is, you know, like you could, if you just had a transcript, you didn't know who said what. I mean, that could be, that's either Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham or you know, maybe even Tom Brady. It's the same kind of stuff. And that's what he needs to do. I just don't think, just because right now he's got injured, and Cam Newton's getting the lion's share of the reps, that it is a foregone conclusion that Cam Newton is going to be the starter for the whole year. I think it's going to be Cam Newton to start.
Week one's Cam Newton.
Yep.
Okay.
But that does not mean the competition for a starting quarterback ends there.
And you think that Newton could lose the job without getting injured, just by by playing poorly, he could lose the job to Jared Stidham.
I don't think
that's crazy.
I think people think I'm crazy when I say that, though. If you look at so the bye week comes after the sixth game of the season, I believe. You open with everybody think cupcake against the Dolphins, please. Are you kidding me? They beat you at home last year.
I don't think there's any cupcakes on
that
this
is game. Not. So you then the Seahawks at Seattle. To me, the Chiefs, the 49ers. This team could be 1-3. It could be 2-2. Oh, they were 2-2 in 2014. They went on to win the Super Bowl. I get it. But who's the quarterback? Tom Brady. Okay. If Cam Newton, if there's any kind of adversity. Cam Newton's, you know, he's had adversity later in his career, okay? But he had Ron Rivera as his coach.
Right. He got coddled in Carolina.
Unbelievably coddled. Everybody talks about, the key to the whole his success.
His teammate said so.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. We all know that. The key to his success is if he stays healthy. No. The key to his success is how he handles adversity. If he can handle the coaching that he's going to get after a two-game slide – when he's been, you know, horrible and just thrown, you know, interception after interception, how is he going to respond to that? That's the key. And I am not betting on, but I'm predicting, my feeling is he's not going to handle that well. And that it is not, there's a good chance this thing could blow up early in the season, forcing Bill's Belichick's hand to maybe make a move with Stidham. I just think there's a lot of that that's potentially on the table that I think a lot of people are underestimating.
All right, Stid the Kid back getting more of a workload in practice yesterday. We'll find out in just a few minutes from Bob Soucy exactly what it looked like today out there on the practice field for the Patriots at Gillette. I think they practice indoors today. I'll double check that, or we can just ask Bob. That's coming up next right after the headlines here from Mike Sarge-Reilly.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Sports Hub.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.11:37 here on the Sports Hub. Arcand and Ted with Sarge alongside here in for Zolak and Beetle and Hardy today. 617-779-0985 is your phone number. And without any further ado, let's welcome in Bob Soucy on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Bob is brought to you by PropSwap. It's time for our training camp report. Bob, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Christian and Ted. Another day, another rotation of people in for Zoe and or Beetle.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to be used to that at this point here. Expecting to talk to the same two people every day is an absurd thing to be wanting there, Bob. But it's good to be talking with you today, and certainly with the Patriots practice today. I know yesterday there was some talk of some players perhaps maybe not wanting to be there, not wanting to practice. They went ahead with it anyway. Was there any of that again this morning?
No, you know, it's funny. We heard yesterday from James White and Devin McCourty and Jason McCourty, and especially with the Twins, the somber tone, the sense and the appearance and their words of frustration. And as Jason said, you know, almost a sense of hopelessness. Jason made an appearance earlier today, I believe, on a competing station, and we heard from Bill Belichick during his teleconference as well this morning. And so it looks like, and Devin said this yesterday, if they boycott a practice and then they come back the next day, what does that do? So they've talked about it based on what Belichick said during his video conference today. As a team, again, they've had a forum ongoing where players and coaches have exchanged experiences and ideas. So there is no sense, at least that I'm aware of, that, you know, there was any hesitation to practice today. They'll be in a 1 o'clock practice at Gillette. They're going to try to simulate game conditions, and thinking more about it, that may mean simply this is a practice where they want to make sure that when they need a change of personnel, they got the right guys on the field. Not necessarily a scrimmage per se, because they did a lot of scrimmaging yesterday in a controlled environment, 11 on 11. But today may be more along the lines of what situations arise in a game where you've got a turnover and all of a sudden the defense is back on the field, and just trying to make sure that everybody's prepared for the unexpected and kind of that controlled chaos that takes place on an NFL sideline.
Hey, Bob, the season is a little more than 2 weeks away. Attaboy. Good luck with that. The season's about a little over 2 weeks away. There's no preseason games. Like, what have you are we to expect that the first actually tackling that we're going to see from the Patriots and maybe any team in the NFL is going to be week one against the Dolphins? Are they doing anything to simulate real tackling like you'll find in a game?
Ted, occasionally you see a guy go down to the ground, but it's not frequently. I mean, it's not what you you
they did don't typically want that
on an NFL
right.
Sunday,
right?
You know, and I was asked this morning on the show if there's a possibility of the quarterbacks maybe just to give guys an opportunity to take the red jerseys off, not tee off on them, but yeah, I'll tackle them, and particularly if Cam Newton is going to run, and that's going to be part of what they do, for example. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about what Belichick said in the run-up to training camp trying to liken this situation to what it's like in a college environment where you don't have preseason games and you don't have joint practices against other teams, and trying to prepare for the season the way college teams do. And Belichick and his staff talk to college coaches about that very preparation. And from my experience in college football, there was a lot of tackling during the training camp and in the preseason practices, because you don't get it again in the preseason games like you do in the NFL. So maybe, you know, I wouldn't rule anything out with Belichick. Yeah. But then on the other hand, as you know, I mean, that's a very valuable commodity, whether he's being paid the league minimum or whether he's being paid $30 million by the Carolina Panthers. And last year, in a preseason appearance in Foxborough, Cam Newton got hurt and never really recovered from it. So,
Bob, we saw Jared Stidham's workload tick back up yesterday. You mentioned that. Other people mentioned that. He threw more practices or threw more passes than he had in any practice since, I think, the third day of camp. He's trying to get back into the competition. What did he look like today, and were there any other quarterback-related developments?
Yeah, I think, Stidham the last couple of days has thrown the ball better. It's the first time, you know, since the report of the injury where he's been out there and had some zip and, frankly, a pep to his step. It seems to me, though, still right now Cam Newton, although he's been inconsistent with his accuracy, his placement the last couple of days, and I think there are a lot of different factors involved in that, and Brian Hoyer are the two guys right now who are ahead of Stidham. But at least it's been encouraging to see Stidham come back the last couple of days. And I thought yesterday, in particular, you know, again, maybe not making completions on a consistent basis, but just in terms of the footwork and throwing the ball and just having a level of energy, like a quarterback who's ready to go and compete, at least that was there. And so I think that's a positive sign for this team.
Hey, Bob, the defense last year, through the first nine games anyway, it was a historical defense, but a lot of the main kind of cogs in that defense from last year have now moved on. And there's a lot of kind of uncertainty, particularly maybe in the front seven. I guess, you know, a twofold question. What are your expectations of this Patriots defense this year, and what area of concern maybe is there for you on maybe you'll see in this defense with a lot of turnover, particularly in that front seven?
Well, Ted, you hit on it, and that's your old position, that group, given the loss of the three guys who played so many snaps for this team, Hightower, Collins, Van Noy, Juwan Bentley, he's certainly going to be a fixture there, you'd have to think. Josh Uche, they've moved around a bit. I think he's a promising player. And Frennie Jennings is intriguing. You know, beyond that, Cash Malia, the young linebacker drafted out of Wyoming. Now, he's made some plays in this camp, but right now you're projecting maybe he's more of a special teams guy. And, you know, maybe this is another one of those years where Belichick goes out and during the season has to get a Kyle Van Noy or a Jonathan Casillas, as he did going back to, I believe, 2014 or in Akeem Ayers. One of those linebackers who's available via trade and bring one of those guys in to shore up that area. On the flip side of that, of course, this is a league in which you play with a lot more defensive backs than you used to. So maybe they can overcome some of those personnel losses in the front seven, particularly, of course, at linebacker, with some safeties. They got to replace Patrick Chung, and you know, they got some guys who I think are capable of doing it, but they got to play a really good lineup of tight ends this year. I was thinking about, you know, they're going to go against George Kittle and you know, Travis Kelce. I mean, in week one, Mike Gesicki is the guy who caught the game-winning touchdown pass against them in week 17 last year for the Dolphins. And he had a very good game against them here in Foxborough. And I just think there are a lot of tight ends that they're going to go against that they've got to be ready to defend. And Patrick Chung did that so well, you know, when he was healthy for this team for a long, long time.
All right. Well, Bob, we'll leave it right there. We'll let you get back to the whatever that situation is in the background. It sounds like you're on a safari or something along those lines. Hold on. Ted's got one more thing.
I screwed up. I just want to ask you one. It can be a yes or no answer, so I'll make it easy for you. Does Devin Ross make this football team?
I'd be surprised. And I say that, Ted, as someone who thinks he's had a good camp and has done some good things, but I look at the first three guys, Edelman, Harry, Sinu, and then thereafter you've got Gunnar Olszewski, who, you know, Belichick raved about and has really done a lot of good things out there. And, you know, he's had some inconsistency with catching the ball at times, with his footwork, his strength, his speed, and he returns. And Demir Byrd has speed, and he returns. And I don't know if the Devin Ross can find a role on special teams to help make the team as that, you know, last receiver other than Mathis Leiter. And, you know, when you talk about maybe three tight ends on this team plus a fullback, perhaps they have to carry an extra offensive lineman because I think depth is an issue, as it was last year, and they wound up carrying an extra offensive lineman. That affects the receiver core. There's a lot to like about Ross, but I just don't know if he's going to be there in the numbers game, and I think the same could be said for Jacoby Myers at this point.
That's fine. Hey, Bob, don't you underestimate Colorado football players all you want, buddy. We'll see, you know. We'll see how that works.
See who's laughing. See who's laughing in a couple weeks.
Ted, because I just said what I said, he's probably a lie.
There you go.
There it is.
But he's done some really good things out there.
You should keep his name keeps coming up, and he's flashes. So I was just curious your overall thoughts. But I know he's a long shot to make it. I was just curious what you thought on that.
Yeah, again, goes back to, I think special teams role is a big factor when you start talking about the fourth or fifth receiver on depth chart.
Yep.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Live from Serengeti National Park, that's Bob Sosa. Thanks for the time today, Bob. We appreciate it.
Those are my kids and not the dogs.
Oh, okay. Basically the same thing. All right, thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, that's Bob Sosa there, live from the safari. Bob was driven by the all-wheel drive Honda Pilot at your New England Honda dealers.
Surprised to do play-by-play with the kids on there.
That was, I mean, we've had, you know who used to be bad? It was Hags. Hags used to have his dogs barking in the background every single time I ever did a hit with him. And it was never that loud. But, I mean, that was the loudest I've ever heard anything in the background.
I thought Bob would, like, remove himself from the situation. He's like, no, just everybody just keep doing what you're doing.
I think he went closer to the sound.
I think
sounds.
He did too.
He was, like, investigating the noise. That was something. Even Jones, when he was doing his shows from home and the kid and the dog was all going, I mean, that was something right there. All right, that was Bob Sosi. By the way, when we come back, we will be giving away a gift card for Ned Devine's and Faneuil Hall, a nice Ned Devine's gift card giveaway. That place has a special place in my heart. I'll tell you all about why when we come back. Also, the New York Metropolitans, what a ridiculous night they had. We'll dive into that story as well right after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985 will score a $100 gift card to Ned Devine's in Faneuil Hall. Enjoy the game inside or outside on the large high-definition projection screens while enjoying great new menu items. The game is on at Ned Devine's. Reserve your spot at neddevinesboston.com. I'd call in for this if I could, but I'm pretty sure I'm not allowed to. Pretty sure that's frowned upon during these contests.
It's one of the first things I learned in radio business.
Can't win your own contest.
Nope. Employees cannot win the right.
I don't think that's fair, honestly. I get it. I mean, I understand why they would frown upon it, right. But I don't necessarily think that's fair.
Okay.
I love Ned Devine. You been to Ned Devine's, Ted?
I have not been in there.
I'm trying to remember if it was even open when you played here, because I don't think it was. I think it used to be a bookstore. Back in the day. But it's in Faneuil Hall, and it's basically the top row of the middle building, the entire top floor. It's like three huge rooms. And
wasn't the Comedy Connection there?
Comedy Connection was a little further down over where that
second
big vestibule is now. Second level, yeah. It was
just further down the
yeah, wow. Level. You remember the Comedy Connection. That's
we had to go to the Comedy Connection.
Yeah?
That was a big spot.
That was fun going up there.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. And they treated us so well. We'd go in there, and we'd have obviously great seats, and you know, we became friendly with a lot of the comedians. You know, it was cool. It was a good synergy.
Well, Ned Devine's is right above, well, it used to be anyway, right above a bar called, or a pub called the Ames Plow Tavern, which is holds a special place in my heart because my father opened that bar about 40 years ago. It's closed now.
Kidding me.
But back in the 70s, nothing used to be down there in Quincy Market. It used to be pretty much just all boarded up. in the 60s and 70s. And then the mayor at the time was this guy, Kevin White. And he did this big urban renewal project down there. The whole waterfront area was really not, it definitely wasn't what it is today. But he came and did this big urban renewal project and pretty much spruced up all of Quincy Market and Faneuil Hall. And the Ames Plow was one of the original merchants at the time. And that was a big part of my life. I mean, that place put me through school. You know? Like, I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for that place. Sarge, did you ever party with me down at the Plow?
Let me see. It's I don't remember what I did 5 minutes ago. But yeah, no, I never had the honor of doing that with you, though, Christian. Yeah, but you know what? There's always tomorrow, right?
Well, not for the Plow because the Plow's closed. But we can party somewhere
that's
else.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Sure. We'll social distance and take the whole precautions as we should. It's true. We have to.
Have you driven by Faneuil Hall during this whole thing?
Yeah, a couple times.
It's kind of depressing, right?
It's sad, yeah.
I mean, there was a guy playing.
It was going that direction anyway because, the Seaport's the big hotspot now. Right. Everyone goes to this. Faneuil Hall's kind of just for tourists now. But, walking around there now is.
You see some strange stuff. The other night, I was driving by there where I saw a guy playing a guitar with the guitar case open for people that want to put money in it. With a, I got a great picture. I'll show you in the break. wearing a basically a bear.
Oh, Keytar bear.
Is that what he is?
Yeah, sure. Keytar bear.
Okay, it's a guy? It's a thing?
Oh, yeah, Keytar bear. Well, Keytar bear's been around for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A couple guys beat him up once, right? Didn't that happen, T-Von? Yeah. Keytar bear is like a fixture.
I didn't know that.
There's a couple of downtown Boston fixtures. There's Keytar bear. There's the Jesus is Lord guy who walks around with the sandwich board about how you're going to go to hell, and he's handing out all these things. Well, that guy's all over the place.
Keytar bear. I just thought, this is where we're at. This is what the COVID is doing. Like, the guy's wearing a bear, helmet.
Yeah. Thing. It's a whole costume.
Whole costume, yeah, okay. Right, yeah. Playing a guitar, and I thought, this is what the COVID is doing to people.
Keytar.
Okay, Keytar.
With
Keytar.
The keys on it. His name is Keytar Bear Ted.
I didn't know. Gotcha. It's all coming together for me. All right. I didn't look that close to what he was actually playing.
Was he out in the marketplace? Or
he was.
Okay.
And there was nobody there except for Keytar Bear. Playing his guitar, and I just thought,
that's like a tragic scene.
It was. Nobody's out. It's early evening, and he's playing his guitar, and nobody's at Faneuil Hall. And I just thought it was a very kind of depressing scene. Was what I've seen.
That's
felt
sad.
Bad for him.
No one around.
But I didn't know that was his thing. I just thought somebody's lost their mind. This is what people are doing right now. It's like the Great Depression, kind of just stuff you wouldn't see. Happening on the streets is happening now.
The only sounds you hear are the rats scurrying around and the dulcet tones of Keytar Bear playing his keytar to an audience of zero in Quincy Market.
It's just
very sad.
He pressed on, man. He didn't have one person.
Keytar Bear should go to the North End because everyone's sitting outside.
Or Seaport.
Seaport, too, I suppose,
Was supposed to be the feast this weekend, too,
St. Anthony's was this weekend,
Anyway, we digress, but...
Oh, no, we're digressing.
But I just like that we're giving away, $100 to Ned Devine. That means that there's going to be life and, activity.
Yes,
and
people down
all
there.
Again.
And maybe, just maybe, you will be serenaded by a guy with a keytar and a bear costume while you're down there, just saying. That would be nice. I would enjoy that while I'm out there eating and Ned Devine's watching the Bruins tomorrow at noon. Yeah, I think that'd be fine.
Has this happened to you guys recently where you've gone to a restaurant that was one of your favorite restaurants? And you walk up to it and go, oh, it's closed. It's all shut down.
Yes.
Like, that's happened to me. I've gone to Cambridge. There's a couple of restaurants in Cambridge that were kind of old staples. You go, it's like, it's not open anymore.
One around the corner from where I live, they said they're not going to reopen until we get the all clear. And I'm like, God bless you if you're able to do that, pay the bills and everything. They're not even going with the outdoor sitting option. They've just shut it all down completely.
I think there's a lot of people they're going out of business. They say out of four restaurants have gone completely out of business.
It's a shame.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, man.
It's awful. It's awful the way that happened. Not to veer off into politics or whatever, but it would have been real nice if knowing that all these restaurants were going to have to close, if maybe the local governments paid them to stay closed and just said, all right, you can reopen when you reopen, but we're going to pay you so you don't go completely out of business and have to fire everybody and go bankrupt and everything else. And we do want these restaurants to be back here when things open back up again. It'd be kind of nice maybe if they helped them out a little more. I think that would have been a smart move. But they didn't.
Because of your history with your dad and the bar, you have a soft spot for people in the... in that industry.
Oh, of course.
I do too.
There's a lot of jerks in that industry too. I mean, there's jerks in every industry, I suppose.
Right.
But yeah, especially now, I mean, in the restaurant, the places are getting clobbered.
Yeah.
Just clobbered all over the place. And it's awful. I mean, it sucks. And not just for the business owners, the bartend, people who work there, dishwashers. I mean, they employ a lot of people and they're all staples of their individual communities. And they're going away. Yeah. I mean, that sucks.
It does suck.
617, on that note, 617-779-0985 is your phone number. When we come back, we'll get into the New York Mets. I know I teased that before. The New York Mets having a wild, wild night with some hot mic comments from their general manager, the owner getting involved, the COO getting involved, the commissioner of the league catching some strays. We'll get into all of that and that big story right after the headlines here from Mike Sarge Riley.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.